on the line now I have Muirso Fianachta, station manager of Radio Na Dtifia. Hello, good afternoon, Muirs. How are you?
Hi, Noel. I'm not too bad. How are
First
you?
Of all, congratulations. 20 years indeed.
Thanks. Yeah, well, we haven't quite reached it yet, but 2013 is the big year for us. I suppose it's a milestone for any radio station in this day and age, but particularly a community non-profit radio station. So, you know, I suppose some of your listeners in Near FM would be aware that Radio Na Dtifia is also a community radio station, but more importantly, we're a community of interest radio station. So we were actually the first such station to get a license in Ireland at the time in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of pervaded and promoted the wider community radio movement that happened from there on. Not that we were the only one, the only station that were sort mm-hmm. of participating in that movement, but it's been a great 20 years, and you know, hopefully we'll have another 20 more, if not more.
Of course, yeah. You took up the torch and carried it on the relay right around, and I mean, you can read about all the community radio now all over the country. It's absolutely a wonderful thing. Can I ask you at the beginning, what was the actual remit of the station?
Well, I suppose the idea of the station came about in the fact that before the establishment of Radio Na Dtifia, there was only one radio station in Ireland broadcasting through Irish, and that was Radio Na Gaeltacht of the state service. It's now part of RTE.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the clue is in the name Radio Na Gaeltacht, the radio of the Gaeltacht. It's obviously the state broadcaster that broadcasts through Irish. But it does so focusing extremely heavily on the Gaeltacht itself, which is fine, and it's very important that that should be done. However, what was happening in Dublin in the late 80s, and you know, well before that, but what happened in Dublin in the late 80s was that there was a significant minority of people in the city who spoke Irish as their main daily language of communication. I mean, the fact remains that there are more people actually speaking Irish in Dublin than there are in all of the Gaeltacht combined. Mm-hmm. So while it's very, very important to preserve the status of the language in the Gaeltacht, what we do see happening, and what was happening 20 years ago, was that there was a different demographic of Irish speakers who weren't living in the Gaeltacht anymore. If they wanted to listen to the radio, they didn't necessarily want to hear about what was going on in Spittal or in Dingle or mm-hmm. in Gweedore. You know, these were people who were living their lives in Dublin City. They were working in Dublin. Their social lives were just the same as anyone else who lives in Dublin. So, you know, you also had, I suppose, the cultural element of it, in that they weren't necessarily listening to Seannos or to traditional Irish music. So there was a strong need to establish a radio station that would serve the needs of those people who were speaking Irish. I can remember myself, I mean, just to tell you a little mm-hmm. story, I was a teenager when the station was established, and I remember hating listening to radio through Irish because it was always traditional Irish music, it was always Seannos, and as a teenager who grew up in Dublin, I just simply wasn't interested. You know, I wanted mm-hmm. to hear Nirvana and Guns N' Roses, and when I actually heard some of those bands being played on Radio Na Dtifia and the presenter speaking Oscaiga, I thought it was a revolution and a very welcome change. So that's basically, in a nutshell, why the station
it's
was
changed.
Established.
But the language itself, was it around that time that the attitude towards it changed? Because, I mean, being honest about it, was it sort of a stigma and an aversion towards it, even with kids in school? I know it's changed now with the school gales going around now and how they have cropped up over the years as well, the numbers that there are. But the actual attitude towards it has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I suppose I would like to think that Radio Na Dtifia was, again, part of a movement kind of spearheading that shift, maybe, in thinking around the language. That, you know, with the establishment of Radio Na Dtifia, here was a group of Irish speakers saying, look, we don't all listen to Seannos and wear iron sweaters. You know, we're just the same as any of the rest of you, except... you know, Irish happens to be our first language, or it might not necessarily even be people's first language. It might be their second language, but one which they are passionate about and choose to speak. So, you know, I would hope that, and I mean, I think it is evident that that change has sort of gained momentum over certainly the past number of years. And I suppose, like anything, I mean, if the will isn't there from the people, like it's sort of communities on the ground that are actually establishing Gaelic schools, and it was a community on the ground that established Radio na Lifa. So the need is clearly there, the desire is clearly there. We don't want to sort of, you know, force anything down anyone's neck, which was maybe part of the problem with the language in the past. But I think, luckily, there's a change in attitude now. And I think as well, with I suppose, the changes in the demographics of Ireland over the last number of years, you have a lot more foreign nationals now living in the country. You hear a lot more different languages being mm-hmm. spoken. So I think more Irish people who maybe mightn't necessarily have been that positive towards Irish now realise that, look, almost every other nation in Europe or in the wider world have their own language that they actually communicate to each other through. And, you know, unfortunately, we have a colonial history in this country, which means that we no longer speak our own language, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think people realise that there is a value and a certain importance to it, which nothing else other than the language itself can actually take up that place, I think.
Yeah, I think what you're saying there about the station itself sort of giving it the kick-off, but I think with the onset of technology, with, of course, all the immigration into the country, and also a lot of people going abroad, a lot of people going away, and they began to feel, I suppose, that they had no identity, no culture. Well, the culture was always there, the identity was always there, but the sort of the Irish language puts a cap on it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Would that be a good way to explain it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think people's opinions will be different on it. Personally, to me, the Irish language is the absolute core of Irish identity and Irish culture. Some people mightn't agree with me on that, but you know, there's a Seanúchil, an old saying in Irish, Tírgan Teanga, Tírgan Anam.
Mm-hmm.
A country without a language is a country without a soul. And I think it was Douglas Hyde who, well, I'm not sure, I may be wrong, actually it was Pádraig Pearse, if I'm right on that one, who came up with that one. And I still think, you know, 100 years later, it still rings true. I think, as you say, you know, people travelling, people sort of expanding their cultural horizons, and realizing that, you know, not everybody in the world speaks the same language, or certainly, you know, obviously a lot of people speak English as a second language, but it's by no means the world's number one language.
Not anymore.
Being a native language, you know. So.
Incidentally, how has the broadcasting times changed and the format as regards the station over the years?
Yeah, well, when the station started originally in 1993, we were broadcasting for 5 hours a day. You know, that was based on the initial group of people who came together. They thought that they could put together a solid schedule mm-hmm. of 5 hours a day. As the years progressed, that was sort of gradually upped, and I suppose one of the most significant changes, which I sort of brought in myself as manager, was that when I came into the station as a manager, the station was only coming on air at 4:30 in the afternoon, Monday to Friday, or Monday to Thursday. There was an hour earlier broadcast on a Friday. And I felt that, you know, a very obvious way which we could have a stronger presence on air would be to, you know, use up the airtime in the morning time and through the early afternoon. Part of our problem was that we didn't have the number of volunteers required to actually fill those hours. But, you know, a very simple way of filling up those hours are to just put out a block of repeat programming. So the station now comes on air at 8 o'clock in the morning. And broadcast through until 4 a.m. the following morning. So we're now 20 hours a day, Monday to Friday, and we broadcast right around the clock of the weekend.
Okay.
So it's expanding all the time. And
okay. And I suppose that's the reason why you're getting around to the point of where actually on as well, what you would be like to do, getting people together, volunteers, past and present.
Absolutely, yeah. We are holding a meeting next Tuesday in a place called Cush Talig. which is the basement in Cogal na Siúntaí na Gaeilge. It's 46 Kildare Street, Dublin 2. And we'd like basically anyone who's been involved in the station in any way over the years, or even, you know, any of your listeners, Mata Gaeilge Acu, if they speak Irish, we'd like to hear listeners' opinions as well. I suppose this is going to be the first meeting of a number of meetings which we will be holding, but this is just basically to get some ideas of how we can celebrate this year. And we'd really like to, you know, there's no point in me sort of deciding what we're going to do without having a bit of input from the people who, who originally established the station and the people involved in the station. So that's going to be happening at 6:30 next Tuesday evening. That's the 20th. Of November. So, as I say, Bay Falta Rifkach, anyone will be welcome.
Okay, can I just stick in there just to clarify it as well, what you're looking for? But yeah, would you be looking sort of as well maybe for technicians in it? You don't necessarily have to be a Scaelga to go to the meeting and get involved with the station either. Would that be true?
It wouldn't actually. No, like the working language of the station is Irish, so it's not that we just sort of have people in here doing everything as Berla and then going in and just speaking Irish on air.
Okay.
Actually, everything behind the scenes is all the language of communication is
okay.
Irish. And it's a vital part of the identity of the station. And I think of any minority language, part of the problem is that if you only use it as the language of presentation, it's a bit of a falsity, you know.
Indeed, yeah.
But what we find is that, the vast majority of people are completely passionate about speaking it as much behind the scenes as they are on air, you know.
Okay.
So we would encourage people, if you have enough Irish to hold a conversation, certainly get in touch with us. But if you feel that you'd be a bit too rusty to actually be able to fully partake in a conversation, then what we'd recommend is that people might maybe attend a few lessons first, and then get in touch with us after that. I suppose it's an important distinction to make that while, you know, education and sort of increasing one's ability in the Irish language is part of what we do, we aren't actually here to teach people Irish at the same time.
Of course, that's it. Of course. Anyway, congratulations. I know it's premature, but for next year, on the 20 years, catching up, I suppose, but we're a few years behind you. But congratulations again to yourself and everybody on the station, Wirth.
Thanks, Noel. Hopefully we'll speak to you next year again.
Definitely will as it gets nearer. Thank you very much, Wirth.
Thank you, Noel. Bye-bye.